Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
There used to be a time when I loved going on late night drives, but not anymore. I went to stay with my grandma when this incident happened. My grandma lived in the countryside, hence, after dark, life was pretty boring there. The nearest bar, or rather a small wooden shack, was an hour's distance. The neighborhood people were also old and solitary, so I was mostly on my own. So whenever I felt bored, I borrowed my grandpa's red Mustang and went for a drive after dinner. The joy of driving on the high road with no one else around relaxed me each time until I met a weird stranger. It was a warm Friday night. I picked up some beers from the small gas station and started on my late night strolling. I rolled the windows down and cool air brushed my face. Unlike the city, I had the full opportunity to drink and drive there, but I never sped too fast and always abided by the traffic lights. I was driving on the empty road enjoying my beer when I stopped at a red light. The empty highway stood before me. I looked around and realized how deserted the place was. I turned on the radio, hoping to find some music when suddenly my eyes went to the sidewalk. At some distance, on my left, stood a bushy tree. Under that tree, I could see a human figure standing and watching me. The shadow of the tree made the sight quite illuminating. I couldn't see the person clearly, but sure could feel his eyes on me. Feeling a bit weird by the silent watcher, I honked my horn just to make him realize I could see him too. I expected him to walk away, hearing the car horn, but instead, he surfaced from the darkness. He came out and stood right underneath the streetlights. It was a man, probably in his late 50s. He was dressed in a very weird way. There was a blue afro wig on his head. He wore a red tie with no shirt on, and a pair of shorts printed in the form of the American flag. He wore brown, murky boots. His excessive leg and body hair made him look grisly and gross. As if all this weirdness wasn't enough, he painted his entire face white, with red paint circling his eyes, and he drew a distorted red smile on his lips. It seemed like he was going into a crazy parade on the 4th of July. He suddenly smiled at me, widening his creepy green eyes, and I felt my stomach drop. His teeth had blood stains on them. I froze at that moment for a second, and then saw the signal turn green. I had to move, and this man was still standing there, waiting for me to pass him by. Feeling freaked out by this creepy-ass behavior, I rolled up my window and started driving past him. The tension of the situation got into me so badly that when I was almost parallel to him, I let go of the clutch and the engine stopped. Yeah, my car stopped while he stood right next to me. I wanted to turn the engine on, but I don't know why. I became numb sitting inside the car. It felt like the man had cast a spell on my car to make it stop right next to him. I kept staring at him when he stooped down and planted his face on my glass window. His eyes were evil. His smile looked even more distorted. In a creepy, squeaky voice, he said,
"Long live America! But you don't seem to be from this country."
Now, I'm half European and half Asian. Inheriting from my dad, I look more Asian than European. So practically, his racist words hurt me. but I was so struck with fear that I couldn't say a word about this guy. My breathing got heavy. He smiled once again, and then licked the glass in a very vile manner. Suddenly, I got my courage back, realizing he couldn't get inside the car because I already locked the doors. So I screamed back for the first time, saying, "Get away from my car, you freak!" Hearing my protest, the smile on his face got replaced by a vengeful anger. He opened his mouth wide and screamed at me like a fucking psycho. "What the hell is your problem?"
"I'll tell you that, Mr. Who Don't Belong Here."
My tolerance limit finally gave up, and I started the engine to drive away as fast as possible. My engine started, and the man backed off a bit from the car. Suddenly, a cool idea came to mind. I was really angry at the moment, and without thinking, I rolled down the window just a little bit so I could throw an empty beer bottle at the jerk. It all happened so quickly, but the man couldn't guess what was about to come at him. The beer bottle hit his face and shattered into pieces. I didn't wait for a second and stormed out full speed. I only heard a painful scream, and from my rearview mirror, saw the man crouch down on the floor, hiding his bloody face into his palms. I can't explain how I reached home that night, but I was so terrified by this experience that for the next 3 days, I barely came out of the house. When my grandma noticed my odd behavior, she asked what was wrong. I didn't tell her and tried to shrug off the incident. On the fourth day, I was sleeping in my room when I heard voices downstairs. Out of curiosity, I came out and saw my grandma talking to a police officer. I slowly came down the stairs when the police officer looked up, hearing my footsteps. The moment I saw his face, a cold shiver ran down my spine. He had green eyes like I had seen before. The weirdest things were the cut on his face, which looked very fresh. He kept staring at me without blinking, and then said to my grandma, "This must be your grandson."
"Yes, he came to stay with me for a while."
"I see. Well, America welcomes everyone."
"Excuse me?"
"Just saying. This country has a place for all. Long live America. I'll see you around then." He left just like he came. My grandma stood in the doorway with a confused face. I asked her how she knew the man, to which she replied she had never seen him in the neighborhood. I felt something was very wrong, so I immediately went to the nearest police station and reported about this guy. I took my grandma with me. The cops assured me that they had no cops matching the features and they would look into the matter. When we came back home, we found the entire house vandalized. Someone broke in and ruptured the entire house. The couch was stabbed several times, making the cotton underneath come out. The dishes were broken. Our entire kitchen was filled with broken glass. On my grandma's bed, someone left a headless squirrel. The blood of the poor dead animal made the white bedsheet completely red. And in my room, someone wrote on the big white wall with blood. It read, "You don't belong here, and I'll be back." The cops came and investigated our entire house. We had to stay in a motel for 3 days until the cops arrested the crazy guy. He was found living in the woods. Checking his background, the cops discovered that this man used to be an army general long back, and then he got suspended for his racial behavior with civilians. He was sent to a mental institution from which he escaped a few months back. He even injured a patrolling officer on the highway and then stripped him naked to steal his clothes.
The cops found the officer tied inside an abandoned wooden cabin where the psycho took shelter after escaping from the mental institution. I'm so glad this man will be behind bars for the rest of his life. I also feel fortunate for saving myself and my grandma from this devil's grasp. Do you remember what it was like before we all had cell phones? Before the world was connected and help was only a call away? Back in the 90s, if you got stranded on the side of the highway, you were out of luck unless another car stopped for you. I used to stop all the time if I passed a busted down Chevy or an accident or a hitchhiker. That all stopped in the summer of 1995 when I encountered two men traveling down Route 50 on my way through Colorado. It was pouring down rain when I drove past the red sedan. The car was clearly having issues. It was parked on the shoulder with the hood up, a man halfway inside looking at the engine, just his legs sticking out like the car was midway through eating him alive. I accidentally splashed the guy as I went beyond him. I hit the brakes about 20 yards past the guy and turned around and drove back. I rolled down my window when I got close. "Sorry about the splash," I said. "I didn't see you until I'd gone past. Do you need a hand?" The man emerged from behind the hood of his car. He was middle-aged, tall, wearing a white jacket spotted with fresh grease stains. "Well, aren't you just in the nick of time?" the man said, slamming the hood. "I'd love a ride into town if that wouldn't be a burden. My name's Carl." "Brian, pleasure to meet you. Door's unlocked." Carl climbed into the passenger's side. The rain was picking up and my windshield wipers were struggling to keep pace. I attempted to strike up a conversation with Carl a few times, but most of his responses were terse. He sat staring out the window, like he was looking for something, the slash of a little half-smile tugging at his lips. "So, do you know what the trouble was with your car back there?" I asked. This actually caused Carl to perk up and look at me. "Yeah, I was having an issue with the spark plug." "Oh, shoot. What do you think was wrong with it?" Carl giggled. "Well, it's completely missing." "Missing?" "Stolen, really. I gave a hitchhiker a ride a few miles back." Carl leaned in closer. "You have to be careful with who you trust these days. The kid that I picked up couldn't have been more than 20. He asked me to pull over on the shoulder so he could take a leak. When I did, he cold-cocked me and robbed me while I was knocked out. Then he must have taken the spark plug out to prevent me from following him. I tell you, these kids these days are ungrateful and vicious. I was doing him a favor, just like you're doing for me now." Yeah, I mumbled. "Kids these days." I pushed down a little voice in my head that wondered if this hitchhiker was real, or if I had just let a crazy guy into my car. So imagine my surprise when, about 6 miles later, I spot a figure walking slowly on the side of the road with their thumb out. "That's him," he said. "That's the little twerp that robbed me. Pull over." I hesitated. We were traveling slow and the figure was still 100 yards ahead of us. But the roads were slick and my brakes weren't great. Are you sure that's the guy?" I asked, easing off the accelerator but not yet moving for the brakes. "Yes. Pull over," Carl growled, reaching for the wheel. "Hey, wait, what are you?" The hitchhiker spotted us around the same time Carl locked his fingers around the steering wheel. The young guy scrambled off the shoulder. Carl yanked the wheel in that direction, and I only barely wrenched it away from him before we hit the guardrail. We struggled over control of the car for a terrible moment until I felt the sharp crack of Carl's elbow connecting with my nose. The cartilage collapsed, and blood came pouring down my chin. I let go of the wheel in shock, and Carl overcorrected. My car slammed through the guardrail on the shoulder, skidded down the gentle slope, and came to an abrupt halt when the hood clipped a big evergreen. The force of the collision knocked me out. When I woke up, the first thing I noticed was the sound of rain, but at a distance. It was dark. Wherever I was, I could feel dirt under me. I was blindfolded. As my senses trickled back in, I picked up the sound of sobbing nearby. Hello? I called out, my voice a wet croak. I tried standing but nearly fell over. My hands were tied behind my back. Please don't hurt me, someone whispered. I'm not going to hurt. He was talking to me, Brian. Carl's voice cut in like a hatchet. My blindfold was yanked off, and there the man was, caked in mud, smiling wide and wild. Where are we? I asked, coughing up blood. What's going on?
The kid came back to check on us. Wasn't that kind? Carl giggled. All I had to do was play dead until he got close, and then I had him. You were out cold already. The rain was bad and your car was a mess, so I had to find us a nice, cozy cave to wait out the storm.
Why am I... my head's still spinning. Why am I tied up? Carl winked.
Well, I didn't want either of you going anywhere. It's not safe. So good thing you had some duct tape in your trunk, eh?
Please, please, the hitchhiker whimpered. Let us go. We won't go to the police.
I got my first good look at the man then. He was barely in his 20s, maybe even still a teenager. His dirty blonde hair was slick with rain and dried with blood. It looked like he hadn't had a good meal in a day or weeks. Carl ignored the hitchhiker and began gathering branches and tinder from the cave floor. He arranged the material into a pile between us and pulled out a lighter. The wood was wet, and it took Carl several attempts to get the fire started.
What are you gonna do to us? I asked.
To you? Brian, nothing. You gave me a ride. That was nice of you. I owe you one. But this little prick here...
Please! The kid yelled. You said you were going to kill me. I had every right to fight back.
Maybe, Carl conceded. But you shouldn't have messed with my car. You don't touch a man's car.
Carl suddenly grabbed the hitchhiker by the back of his head and slammed his face into the fire. The flames were small, but I could feel the heat from several feet away. The man thrashed and screamed as the smell of burning skin and hair filled the cave. When Carl finally released the hitchhiker, the kid's face was charred to the bone, his remaining flesh seared black. Carl calmly stood up and walked to the entrance of the cave, casting an eye up towards the clouds.
This rain, what a hassle, right? He asked me. I could only stare with my mouth open. I'm going to head out now, Brian. I left the pocket knife over there in the corner. You should be able to cut your hands free. After you manage that, count to 500 before you leave the cave. It goes without saying, but if I ever see you again, I'll kill you on the spot.
Carl winked and then walked out into the rain. I cut my hand getting free, but still counted to 1,000 before exiting the cave. I was able to get back to my car, but it couldn't run, so I was stuck doing something I'd never done before and will never do again. Walking down the highway with my thumb out, hoping for a ride. All I could think of the entire time was the body back in the cave, the man still out in the woods, covered in mud and soot, and that nasty hook of a smile.
What's up, fools? Main Event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's Chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me about to get them all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.